Tonight on Big Head Mode, we are talking awful, awful games. I'm here with Barty McKinnon. Barty, there's some shocking games in our past.
Absolute shockers.
Yeah. we've been digging through our archives of terrible games. We're going to be talking about them. And why we ever played them,
and what we were thinking.
A bunch of gaming news. It's really cool. Some cool Kickstarters on the horizon. We'll talk a little bit about.
Is that cool?
There's some really cool ones. I reckon you're going to eat those words when we talk about them. And of course, I'm going to talk about Telltale Games, Minecraft Story Mode. Episode 1's come out this week. I'm going to talk about that.
Great.
And the show as well. You're in Big Head Mode. This is Big Head Mode, 2RRR's weekly gaming show. I'm your host, Ben O'Brien. Barty McKinnon is with me in the sidecar tonight. We're flying solo. Back when co-op games just had two people.
That's right, of course.
Before the messiness of four-player co-op.
Ridiculous.
God forbid the future of six-player, eight-player co-op
actually works.
It's just life co-op. It's just you know, hundreds of people having to navigate each other.
I want the slogan, life, play cooperatively. Like, I just want that on a t-shirt. It's like a motivational thing. That's all
I
got.
Oh, my God. I know I was joking there. I just had a headache about the idea of... imagine having to manage a co-op game with more than four people.
Oh, it'd be chaos.
Four people is enough for me sometimes. Like, when people want to do things differently, if it's a decision-based thing.
Oh, but when there's four people, it's chaos. Whole different thing. It's like Halo 3 had four-player co-op.
Yeah, I did.
And that was. I mean, it was.
But at least that's linear. Think about any game that involves a player to be in an inventory.
Oh,
you would
God.
Never do anything.
Think about when we.
And I suppose six-player co-op is raids.
Right.
Destiny.
Yeah. But I mean,
and that's not fun.
Trying to coordinate things in like GTA, trying to get everyone in one place at the same time. It never happens. It never works. Because people are dicks.
That could make a really fun co-op game if it's like 100 people, right? But the task is really simple. And it's like, can you work together with 100 people
and get all 100 people
to get one tiny thing done?
And
like,
it would never
you all assemble an IKEA table?
Yeah. It would never happen. It would never work.
Can you organize a virtual wedding and then have everyone turn up on time and like know what's going on?
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Just thinking of all the really stressful stuff that involves coordinating people.
And you came to a wedding. How many weddings have you planned in your day?
Mate, back in my day as wedding planner, maybe that was the film, The Wedding Planner.
Oh, yeah, great film though.
Yeah.
Dynamite flick.
Hey, Matthew McConaughey, who thought that guy would ever be cool, huh?
Oh, yeah. Remember Fool's Gold?
Nope.
That was doo-doo.
Nope.
I do not.
Sure, there was a game on it though. Which is what we're going to be talking about later on, awful games. In part because we're doing a game panel at PAX Australia 2 weeks from now.
Very excited.
Called Truly Awful Games.
Creative. I like the link between these two segments.
That's true. Well, I mean, I've been spending a week sort of working on that panel, I just thought, you know what, let's talk awful games.
Let's do it.
Because there's a lot of people, listeners, who probably won't go to PAX and not get to see it. We are going to try and record it, I think.
We do recommend that you do go to PAX because...
It's great.
It'll be a dynamite time.
PAX
we'll be there.
Posted, Yug, who is the, I would say...
The godfather.
Yeah, pretty much. He's like, yeah... The spiritual guru, the Dalai Lama of PAX Australia.
He's a deity.
Posted a cool photo today of this PAX Australia banner that's up around Melbourne. And the slogan they're saying on the banner is, "A family reunion for the family you chose."
Aww,
isn't that nice?
That's lovely.
That's so great.
That's lovely.
That's the PAX spirit in a nutshell.
Absolutely.
In a bloody nutshell.
Come on down.
But the panel we're doing, Truly Awful Games, it's just a panel. It's us and then a bunch of comedians, and like we just announced them this week, some great comedians. We've got Michael Heng from
Hilarious.
Good Game and, stand up and just the world, the bloody world, mate.
Yep.
And we have Celia Piccola and Luke McGregor, both excellent comedians.
It's going to be a riot.
Who I was thrilled to discover were gamers.
Yeah.
From ABC's Utopia, which is a great show, if you watched it. And just heaps of other, show up in so many things. So that's great. And it's just us playing, really shitty games.
Yeah, just come hang out.
For an hour and laughing at them,
making
fun of them.
Watch us get really frustrated playing games that we personally hate.
In fact, this time, 2 weeks from now, the big show we're going to be doing is is Bonus Stage.
Yep.
The show that we talk about a lot. We do in Sydney. We're doing one in PAX.
Taking it on the road, man. We're taking it on the road.
I think I would very much like to... Hang on, let me just bring something up. I think maybe I could do a cheeky announcement, a cheeky little announcement. Bearing sure. in mind, the most people who listen to this...
I'll listen to it later.
Listen to it later.
Yeah.
So this is a...
World first. World exclusive.
This is as exclusive as I think things can get. Why don't I announce one of our special guests? Now, Carlo isn't here, so I'm so sorry to this guest, because I'm probably going to massacre the pronunciation of his name.
D-best.
But
oh, you're stressed about this.
I'm trying to find it written down. Okay, there we go. One of the big guests we have on our bonus stage uh-huh. is the lead quest designer of The Witcher 3,
named
Matthias Tomaskiewicz. Is what I'm going to say.
I'd buy it. I mean, that's pretty good.
First name Matthias Tomaskiewicz. Like I suck at Polish.
Matthias.
Whatever way I just said it,
is it Matthias?
It was probably wrong. Could be Matthias. Everyone calls him Maddie, so that's what I'm going to call him.
Do they?
Good old mate Maddie.
Great.
Yeah, that's what they call him in their emails.
That's one of our guests?
It's one of our guests that we can confirm. There's a few more really exciting announcements. So for that show, we're going to have the Axis of Awesome performing some great tunes. We're going to have... in fact, actually, here's another thing we're going to do. We're going to have a live game of Gwent between Carlo, who raves about his bloody Gwent, a live game of Gwent on stage between Carlo and Lee Namo from the Axis of Awesome, who's also a mad Gwent fan. We're going to get Michael Heng and Jordan Raskopoulos in for a bit of commentary.
Fantastic.
Providing a bit of colour to the Gwent game.
I feel like Carlo would be like a card shark in the game of Gwent. Like, he'd just be like he'd have
cards flying, like, hidden under his collars and stuff. Yeah.
He wouldn't be an effective card shark. I feel like he'd just drop his cards everywhere, but I have that vibe that he's a horrendous cheater.
I just have the real vibe that this dear friend of ours is an awful person.
Yeah. Oh well.
So look, that's really exciting. And so he's going to come on. We're going to chat about The Witcher, obviously the new DLC that's just come out that I've been playing, Hearts of Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, it's just occurred to me, this is an amazing opportunity to talk to one of the lead quest designer about Carlo the Boat Captain.
I'm sure he would know exactly to what we were referring.
If he doesn't, he will. And we're going to be like, here's all the quests that Carlo the Boat Captain should be giving in the final DLC. He should be the main quest giver.
It's not too late.
No, I think the whole thing should revolve around Carlo the Boat Captain.
Guaranteed.
Apparently the next DLC takes place on a different island.
Ooh.
How do you get to an island?
Boat.
And who's in charge of a boat, Bardia?
Carlo.
A boat captain.
Oh.
You can say Carlo.
Okay. I did.
There we go. I just can't believe it. I still can't believe that Carlo is a character in it. How does he do it?
It's so stupid. It's so
stupid. It's such a dumb thing.
It's so dumb.
I still love that there might be people out there who stumble across him in the Skellige Isles and go, Carlo doesn't seem like a particularly Skellige name.
Carlo is actually very
Nordic community where it's like, Carlo, sup?
How you doing, bud?
God. Well, there we go. So that's exciting. Keep tuned to Facebook because we do have a bunch more guests.
That's right.
That we're kind of... I mean, who would have thought that big guests have a lot of scheduling issues?
Yeah.
But we're gonna have, like, as soon as it's up, we're going to be like, bang, bang, bang. This is what's happening. But keep an eye on it. That panel is in the main theater, which we haven't... I don't think we've said that on the show. We might have. Which is the biggest theater. We're on right after the Penny Arcade, guys, which is insane. It's literally insane that anyone has put any faith in us.
No, it's a maybe huge mistake. We don't know.
Oh, it's a huge mistake.
No, I'm terrified. It's going to be great.
They've given us a 2,500-seat room, and one of the first things we had was live Gwent.
Come on in, people.
We're going to line up. Guns. I don't know. Maybe Gwent.
If that's not worth the price of admission, I don't know what is.
No, dearie me. That I have been playing that DLC though, and
brag about it.
Like when I've finished it, I'm going to give it a proper review.
Probably
on the next show.
I play video
Come on,
games.
Mate. Come on, let's all be friends.
Okay.
All right, mate. It's great.
Yeah.
You never finished The Witcher 3, did you?
No, but I will.
Bloody do it.
I bloody will. Benjamin.
I had a real bug problem.
I fly like that.
Good work. You know, it's radio. You could have got away with that, but you didn't, and I respect you for sharing. No, so Witcher 3 just had a patch, 17-gig patch, right?
Oh,
huge. A lot of changes and tweaks and all that jazz.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'd spent ages working on for my Witcher file, and first of all, don't you judge me.
Okay. Never. All right. I would never judge you, Benjamin.
But there's a New Game Plus mode, one of the free DLCs they added.
Yeah.
And before I did New Game Plus, I wanted to unlock the Wolven armor, which is like the best armor you can get in the game.
Mm.
It's one of those treasure hunt missions, so you have to do heaps of back and forth to get it. And then once you actually get all the blueprints, you've got to get all the ingredients to craft it. So it was just a lot of
finicky work.
A lot of like running around collecting stuff.
Yeah.
And so I finally did that. And I love The Witcher, but it just still just really felt like chores and all that stuff. But I did all that just so that I could start my new game plus in that armor, have the best armor to reset, so I kind of have the highest level character I can have
going
before I reset it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do that so I could play the new DLC on that load, right?
Mm-hmm.
Download this 17 gig patch, and there's a bug in that patch that doesn't, for some reason, just erases DLC blueprints. And the patch came after I'd started that new game. So I loaded up Geralt, and there he is just standing in the middle of a field in his underwear.
Oh,
he has nothing else.
Hey, man, takes all sorts.
No. Did you say takes all swords?
Yeah.
It doesn't, because he didn't have any. He didn't have swords, didn't have armor.
Brilliant.
All he had was the level one stuff that he starts
Brilliant.
With. And so I've just gone, okay, I'm going to take a step back.
Were you real frustrated?
I was real frustrated. Because I put so much work into collecting that. So you know what I ended up having to do to play that DLC is just kind of keep carrying on from my original file. Now I think they've actually patched that problem.
Okay.
Went to go back and thought, you know what? I played a bit of the DLC. I'm happy to start it again.
Yeah.
As part of this new
just
world
to get
where
the
collect
armor.
All the Gwent, do all that stuff.
I
and
hate you.
Because I still had the armor and the other thing. Of course, new game plus everything scales.
Yeah.
So the quest you need to be level 30 to do in the original game, 60.
Oh.
So I just went, you know what? It's fine. New game plus, I'll come back to you later.
Screw it. I'm
yeah,
out.
Yeah, you're a tomorrow problem. Yeah. Right now, I'm just going to play some of this bloody DLC.
As you weep, you're just crying.
As I'm crying into my controller. But look, hey, we've talked long enough. Let's go to some music. This is Crookman's Eyes from Mega Man 5.
Excuse me?
A Crookman's Eyes from Mega Man 5. Right. I couldn't have been clearer about it.
Sorry, my bad.
I was talking into a microphone. You're wearing headphones.
Yep, it's true. This is my fault.
It really is. We'll be back after this. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. That was A Crookman's Eyes for, you might recognize the tune from Mega Man by Night Swim. Mm. But hey, let's crack into some news. And first things first, last week on the show, we talked about a little beta for a little game you might have heard of called Battlefront.
That's right. It's a good
first
one.
Name Star Wars.
You may recognize him from such games as
Star Wars and nothing else. So yeah, we did play a fair bit of the beta, which came to an end a few days later than people expected, which was great. Everyone really seemed to get as much juice out of that beta. Well, I don't know, fruit?
I mean,
what has juice in it? you can't talk and I can't come up with
I don't know
words.
What's happening. Given that it was only like two levels, I was surprised. You know what I mean? I was like, that people stayed playing for so long.
I mean, I think it's fair to say people mainly, like the majority of people seem to be in the Walker Assault mode.
Yes, which took place on Hoth,
which
is the snowy planet.
Thank you. We got the Star Wars encyclopedia in tonight. But look, DICE have come out and spoken about a lot of the fan feedback they've had about the beta. A lot of people, including us to an extent, felt that Walker Assault was a little bit imbalanced in the favor of the Empire. Because the Rebels, you got a real tough time in that game at bringing down the Walkers.
It's an uphill battle.
And sometimes downhill.
Sometimes.
I mean, the terrain of Hoth is notoriously...
It takes place on a hill.
So they've come out and said, you know, like, it is a balancing issue, and it's something that we're going to resolve, basically.
Point of a beta.
Look, because a lot of people said, oh, I never won a match as a Rebel. Does that mean I suck? And they've said, no.
Yes. Oh.
Maybe, but you know.
Potentially.
But I think it's interesting. It's good that they address, I mean, they have said it is asymmetrical multiplayer, which is always a difficult thing to do, because you do want to have it feel, like, it does need to be unbalanced to an extent, but to an extent that's fun.
Yeah, the unbalance can't come at the cost of, I don't know, like, it can't come at the cost of, I mean, yeah, I don't
like,
know.
Like, it has to be unbalanced in terms that each team has different
standings,
but there has to be equal 50-50. Opportunities for people to get the upper hand from tactics.
Exactly. Right.
Rather than, whereas I think people felt like, and it seemed like the imbalance was at a base level rather than based on, like, you needed an entire team of people to be ruthlessly efficient towards a goal just to get the upper hand.
Yeah, and even then it was fleeting.
So, yeah, I think one thing that kind of changes the amount of health a Walker has.
Okay, cool. Yep, because they did not go down easy.
No, they did not. I mean, how did you, look, what did you? You went on the show last week when we talked about the beta, and I know you had somewhat mixed feelings about it.
I did. I mean, I liked it because I mean, I loved the first two Battlefront games, but I felt like it was just. I feel like maybe I've been playing too many shooters that now it feels like they're rehashing an old formula that doesn't quite work as well as I thought it did or would. It's a very simplistic shooter. It's a very there's not a lot really going on in terms of the actual combat, and I mean, I enjoyed my time playing the beta, but I also felt like I was missing some depth. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see when the full game comes out.
It is hard. Like, I've been playing in the last week, revisiting Titanfall. With a group of friends who never played it in the first place. And going back to that game, I mean, that just... that did a lot of really great things in terms of the scope of multiplayer battle. And I think... I just feel like, even though there's a lot of fun stuff in Battlefront, I still wouldn't mind if it just felt more... hectic,
yeah,
I guess.
It never felt like epic like you want it to. I mean, that battle on Hoth is a pivotal point in the whole franchise, and yet it never really felt like anything was, that nothing was at stake. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel like I was this trooper in this iconic set piece.
Yeah.
It just felt like I was playing a game about...
I wouldn't have minded more of that sort of set dressing stuff that you have in a game like Titanfall. Like AI characters running around.
Yeah.
Just more structures to blow up. So you feel like, you know, more of it, the way the battlefield gets altered, so you can kind of, you really feel like you're in there. Mm. Like, that's what I loved about the Battlefield games. It's just that every environment is destructible. And so when you have an intense match, you just kind of go through the wreckage of a town full of rubble.
And I think people's concern initially was going to be, is this just going to be a reskinned Battlefield? With like a Star Wars, is that what they're going to try to go for?
And I don't think, I wouldn't mind more, slightly more Battlefield. Yeah,
and I just want a little bit more substance to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, put it this way, at this stage, like, so they just announced the pricing for the season pass in Australia, which is pretty expensive. It is cheaper than the American one for some reason. So it's $60 US. We're looking at $70 Australian.
Guys, don't buy season passes. It's
I don't know if I'd want to get that. You know, I just sort of like that beta. I mean, I bought the Titanfall season pass after playing the beta for that because was like, you know what, this is a game I'm going to enjoy.
Yeah, how'd that go?
I'm playing it now.
True.
So there,
I guess.
Putting that in your face. But this, I feel like from what I've played, isn't quite enough. Like, it's enough for me to want to get the game and play it, not enough for me to.
Yeah, look, we had fun.
Down.
We enjoyed.
Like, yeah, we had a few good laughs. We had some good times.
Bloody times playing that bloody game. But I mean, how long is that going to last? I mean, I'm certainly not going to buy the season pass because I'm against it. But,
yeah,
you know, it was interesting. I was surprised at how surprised I was by it.
And that's surprising.
I'm surprised as we speak.
Hey, here's some cool Kickstarter news. First of all, one Kickstarter disappears. The PT-inspired Allison Road is no longer on Kickstarter because it's got a publisher.
Yay, good on you.
Isn't that cool? Oddly enough, ooh. Team 17, who make the Worms games.
That's a bizarre pairing. Yeah. What happens to all the people that backed the Kickstarter? Do they just get screwed?
Here's what they say. The team is looking for ways to provide former backers with in-game rewards at a later date.
So they get screwed.
I don't know. I imagine legally they have to, if they cancel a Kickstarter, they have to give the money back. Because with a lot of Kickstarter websites, only a few. Kickstarter.com gives money back if it doesn't reach goals. Indiegogo and a few others don't.
Yeah, there was a project that actually got taken down from Kickstarter, or they closed the Kickstarter after they had raised, I don't know, 30 grand or something. I can't remember what it is now, but they didn't give any of the money back. From people,
It depends on the on the thing, basically.
It's terrifying,
but I think they're still looking at, you know, I imagine they're getting their money back, and I think they're still looking at rewarding the backers though anyway, even though they are getting money back, because it's sort of like they are what raised the profile of this thing to the point that it was.
Yeah, what an odd team to pick it up though. Team 17.
What an interesting story behind that game, that it's basically an homage to a huge game that got cancelled and then went Kickstarter and now is being backed up by an unusual, like, that's going to be a really cool thing to follow.
It's an homage to, like, a demo, which was an experiment for...
I know.
Like, it was weird.
Of all the things to base a game on.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not the only horror thing. The one that looks really cool that is now on Kickstarter is the Friday the 13th game. It needs $700,000 to become a real thing. Have you followed this?
No.
It is a 1-on-7 multiplayer game where one person gets to prowl as Jason and everyone else are the camp counselors. And it's, you know, apparently it is possible to attack Jason, but it's not recommended because obviously...
He's Jason.
He's Jason.
Yeah. And
what? It sounds really cool.
That's, so they go about their campy business and you... I mean like camp duties. And you, as Jason, try to kill them all off? That sounds...
I guess so. Like, so they haven't really... There's not a huge amount of details.
That's kind of, that could be cool. That could be cool if they went for like a Until Dawn kind of vibe in terms of like the whole slasher sort of genre.
Yeah, like but sort of like it. I guess it's like a horror game combined with Evolve, that kind of vibe.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
I'd play depending that. On who survives, maybe it encourages you to work together. Maybe it encourages there's reasons to separate. I don't know. It'd be cool.
I feel like every 2 and a bit years, like there's just this wave of people trying to make Jason a thing again, and like Friday the 13th relevant again, and like Freddy relevant again. It's. I mean,
I would welcome if this is how they do it. I would welcome in the same way that Alien Isolation
great
brought that back, yeah. And with a really interesting idea for that. For using that genre. Mm. Like, I'd love to see... This could be a really cool way to bring slashers
sure.
movies to...
I'm into it.
Because then you could do this with every...
Well,
theoretically.
Let's not do it. Let's not get crazy.
Well, I'm saying if the idea works...
I don't want to see a Scream game.
Why not, though?
Because I'm not an idiot. Who wants to see a Scream game?
There is a Scream game, isn't there?
No.
There's a Scream TV series.
There's a Scream TV series, apparently.
I thought there might have been a
Scream Is there a Scream game? Because I feel like if there is, it's doo-doo.
First thing comes out, interactive Scream game, choose your own murder. I think it just means a different Scream.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's beside the point. That's one I'm going to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
It's definitely got my attention.
Yep.
we're running out of time for news, and this is too long a thing. I wanted to talk about the whole emotes, the microtransactions in Destiny thing.
You can do that real quick.
Well, okay, so what do you think? I mean, we talked about last week that, you know, the whole concept of the reason behind these microtransactions is they're meant to be purely cosmetic, and the money they make from that fund means that all future DLC is now free. Story DLC is going to be free. And I think, you know
pretty
what?
Cool, I guess.
I can get behind that because cosmetic I can live without,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. I can absolutely get behind that.
Yeah.
And if, I feel like it's stupid, I don't know, if you're the kind of, listen, I'm sure
you're going to criticize people for spending real money on a customization.
Yeah,
I did it.
Yeah, but you're an idiot.
I spent $2, and now I can do slow claps in Destiny.
I'm real happy for you. That's great. How do you feel?
It's great, and he does a bit more in the last one and goes
up
and then shakes his head.
For anyone not watching Ben do it, so everyone he really committed to that.
When the patch downloaded that added it, I had silver, which is the new currency that you buy. It's like the microtransaction currency. I just had some. They gave me some for free. So I could buy things anyway. And I was like, that's sweet. And
yeah,
there are two legendary ones. And so they're a bit more expensive. So I went, you know what? Like, it's a dollar extra or whatever for the coolest one.
Yeah.
I'll get it.
Yeah,
and I was like, fine. And that's all That's all I need. And I've got a different emote beyond pointing now.
Great.
But anyway, the twist on this
really
is people have been digging through the files and they're finding evidence for these other kind of things that might make it onto the microtransaction store. Beyond, because at the moment it's just dancing and emotes.
Mm.
And they found stuff about like consumable buffs that increase your experience gains, stuff like that.
This is becoming a lot less cosmetic sounding.
Yeah, and Bungie have come out and said, look, that stuff that we're looking at, you know, it's just stuff to make you level up subclasses faster, all that kind of stuff. It's nothing that sort of will make raids easier or that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's sort of...
Okay. I mean,
I don't know, but a lot of people are angry because they see it as a slippery slope.
Yeah.
You know, you start doing stuff like that and where does it end?
Yeah.
So I don't know. So I guess, you know, how do you feel about that?
I like the idea that I don't, because I'm certainly not going to pay money for anything cosmetic, and it means that future DLC is free, so I'm totally on board with that. I wouldn't recommend spending the money on those emotes, but if you want to, fill your boots.
There you go. If you want to...
Fill your boots.
Fill your boots. Everyone's favourite expression. This is the theme from Morrowind, as performed... by the Blake Robinson Synthetic Orchestra. You're on 88.5 FM. We'll be back after this.
Here we go.
Boy, howdy.
All right, buddy. We are talking terrible games now. Yep. So, first things first, what I have done, just to make this a little bit more interesting as we talk about the worst games, is if you look here, just put this up on the old...
Okay, what is that?
That is this is a little portable lava pit.
Really hot.
Yeah, yeah. Little. So I'll just toss something in there, as you can see.
That's my phone.
Oh, there we go. There we go. So that's what I'm going to do with all these terrible games that we brought in to talk
you
about.
Could have grabbed anything else.
Look, it was there. It was there, and I went for it, Bardia. But, you know, well, maybe next time get a better phone. All I'm saying. I'm not going to mention what brand it is, because this is radio, and you can get in trouble for doing that. I was making a list of terrible games, right?
Did you check it twice? Oh, I'm going to shut up. Sorry, you go on.
Making a list. And then I thought, you know what? Like, it's really, instead of just sitting down and trying to think of all my... least favorite games. You know, the beauty of achievements and trophies is it tracks them for you.
Yeah.
So I started digging through my old achievement list, and it was amazing. It's like going through your old stuff as a kid. Just the library of just absolute shit that
what
you
was
played.
I thinking? What was I doing with that 3 hours?
In fact, I messaged you, and I was like, instead of just thinking, like, you know, you've got to do this.
Yeah.
And it's great.
You were right. There's some crap on here.
So look... I mean, I'm going to start with a few.
We should preface it by saying that if you happen to be a fan of any of these games, or you have a special attachment to any of these games, great.
It is great. It's going in the lava, though.
We don't like them.
So first things first, I'm going to say, I don't know if you remember this game, X-Men Destiny. Do you remember that?
No, absolutely.
Well, there it goes.
Oh, God.
Okay, that's so it had a lot of promise. Basically, it was billed as this X-Men RPG. Yeah. And it was going to be sort of like, build any character,
you created a character,
choose
right.
your destiny, and, you know, the creative romantic inside me that loves X-Men was like, oh my God, this could be amazing, this could be big, this could be like a BioWare game, it could be like Mass Effect.
Yeah.
You choose your mutant, you build your powers, you lead a team. It was just crap. It was like, there were three skill sets, and they all boiled down. Like, the whole game was basically based on, like, an old build of Marvel Ultimate Alliance or something. Yeah. So it was just top-down, you shoot stuff at enemies, and it was boring, and nothing to do, and...
Disappointing.
Characters were lame. It was just awful. It was so awful. In fact, you know what? I brought two copies.
Oh, no. Oh,
just so I could throw it in again.
Oh.
It was awful.
Amazing.
It was awful. What have you got? What do you got?
Do you remember a game called The Outfit?
I do. That was in my achievements.
How terrible was The Outfit?
It was
billed as a I mean, I can't remember. I think it was like World War II or something.
Or was it
right?
Vietnam? It was such a nondescript war.
Yeah. The war. You know, the war.
And what? You were just such a generic, like, band of brothers.
An outfit, if you will. But I remember it boasted this thing where you could, like, build
Second
things.
Second World
on
War.
The, you
yeah,
could build things on the fly. Like, you could be, if you needed to cross a river and there was nowhere to cross it, you could, like, call in a bridge from nowhere to come out of nowhere and just be...
It was so bad. But you know what? Like, my memory of how awful that game is that I rented it out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll give it a try. And Tom, who comes on the show quite a bit, came over to play it with me. And like within half an hour, I was like, this game is awful. I want to turn it off. But Tom wanted to keep playing.
Did he love it?
We played it for like another hour and a half. And I'm just there going, oh my God, this is the worst. And Tom's like, hang on, I'm kind of getting into it.
Know.
So look, I say toss that one in.
Yep.
There it goes.
That's burning up nicely. That's good.
So look, I had a lot of superhero ones.
Shocking.
Believe it or not, most of the terrible ones I found were based on things.
Okay.
And so I'm going to just toss in a big pile, okay?
That is a big pile. Wow.
So first of all, in this pile we've got Iron Man.
Mm.
That game was disappointing.
Did you play that?
Spider-Man Web of Shadows? Anyone? The recent TMNT arcade game.
Okay, that was doo-doo.
Super disappointing. They are all going in there.
Yep. Oh, that's a
It's going to be a big,
big
pile.
Oh,
and also, just to toss it in there in the end,
we got
Superman Returns, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Great.
They're at, like... I just don't understand why superheroes are so big now.
Why?
And you can't do them in a game. It's
why?
Surely it's the ideal medium for superheroes.
Especially for something like Iron Man.
I mean, you fly around, you shoot stuff.
Done.
Who doesn't want to play that?
Everybody.
Well, I mean, who wouldn't want to play a good version of it?
Oh, no one. Am I giving you the answer you want?
I told you in the lava. What have you got?
How about a little... I can't. Did you ever play Doritos Crash Course? Because I sure as hell did.
No! There's so many questions by now. What is that? Why did you play it?
There was a
Why
bunch
would you
of,
admit to playing
there
it?
Was, and I have 55 gamer score in it.
That's quite revealing in
four,
itself.
Four achievements. It was a game that I think it was free. It was like a promotional game that came out, I think, when the Super Bowl was out. And it was just, I remember there were a bunch of them. They used to do them fairly regularly because they're in such high demand. But it was basically an obstacle course that was set up, and you had your little avatar just run around this obstacle course as like things tried to impede you. Oh, it was crap. That's it. That was the game.
Hey, look, it's going in.
Chuck it in.
It's going in the lava.
Boom.
All right, I'm going to take you a Doritos Crash Course. I'm going to raise you one Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Oh, great.
No. I mean, I would argue that there are a few things in this world more bland than Orlando Bloom. But it turns out a virtual video game version.
That'll do it.
With a voice actor that was someone pretending to be Orlando Bloom is blander than Orlando Bloom.
Fantastic.
That game was just... That was rock bottom. That for
that,
me...
That was rock bottom for
I
you?
I was working at a video store at the time. Mm. And you could just get free... you know, we'd get free games or stuff to take home. So I would just sort of work my way through the games I hadn't played.
Mm.
And that's what the whole back end of my achievement list is. Because it's all the games that are so far away when I played them last. And it was just like, okay, I'll try this. That's awful. That's awful. Which is why I have that, like, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yeah, I was going to ask how did you play these games?
No, I would never pay for it, put it that way.
Certainly not.
Oh, God, yeah. Did I throw it in the lava?
I don't think you have.
It's going in the lava.
I can see the table there. Oh, here we go.
What have you got? What have you got? Hit me with it.
Okay.
Surprise me again.
I got Frontlines Fuel of War. Do you ever play Frontlines Fuel of War?
No.
There's that one?
I recognize the cover. It was a lot of generic military games.
That's exactly what it was. I went through, a phase of just playing shitty, like, military.
And so it wasn't, and this wasn't based on the popular ABC series
Frontline. Surprisingly, no. Shocking.
I'd play that. Would have been a better game. Do that. Yeah.
No, it was a generic futury war shooter. Oh, you've jumped the gun. You've just taken my coffee and thrown it in the lava.
It's in there. It's in there.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, it was just a generic shooter that was set sort of in the future, but I guess not because it was never referenced when it was set or what was going. It was just a god awful game.
And you just described Call of Duty Ghosts.
It's true. I might have.
Okay, here's one. Here's a good one, I think.
Mm.
The Turok remake.
Oh.
Did you play that?
I did.
That was bad.
Was it?
That was pretty bad.
Was it? Okay.
That was pretty bad. It should have been better.
I'll allow it.
I just remember playing that and thinking, like, dinosaurs are boring in this. It's just like you're some weird bro-y sort of mercenary and... It's a tale of revenge and...
Was it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, I don't remember it very well at all.
No, well, it's good.
It's going in.
I just think you do it too off. You could do it so well. You basically Far Cry with dinosaurs, and hey, people have a great time. But no, that was just weird.
Yep.
Weird game.
Yep.
Got another one.
You do?
Yeah.
Go.
Star Trek the game.
Oh, you didn't play that, did you?
I had to review it. I reviewed it on the show.
No!
That was so bad.
God
It
damn.
Had such promise. It was co-op, buddy. I thought co-op co-op games are never bad.
You love co-op. We all know how much
you
love co-op.
And Spock and Kirk hanging out, and they were going to have asymmetrical gameplay, and it was just so disappointing.
It certainly was.
What have you got?
Well,
Let's do one more. This lava
one
pit
more.
Is,
oh, it is drying up. Okay, did you ever play? I can't remember what it was called now because it's not on my list, but it was the Dead Space shooter with the move.
Dead Space Extraction.
That game sucked. I don't know what I was expecting it, being a light shooter sort of game, but man, oh man.
Oh, God.
It was crap.
Well, I've got a surprise for you, Bader.
Tell me.
The developer of that game is in the room.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, they jumped in the lava.
No.
Yeah, it was for the best.
Yeah, I promise.
We have to stop them from making any more games.
No, I promise. Do you have one last one?
One last one, and I'm going to reluctantly dangle this. I'm going to say Army of Two.
Really?
Yeah.
The first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty crap.
It was pretty crap.
I'm going to cut the cord.
And we're dangling it. It's I tried. Co-op is great, but
you like the second one though. You enjoyed the second one.
Second one had it was interesting.
It's like the same thing with Kane and Lynch. I hated the first one, but for some reason I liked the second one.
Yeah, no.
No one liked the second one.
No. So look, hey, if you're listening, hit us up with your terrible games. Mm. I always love hearing what games people hated, why, what your worst experience in a game was, all that jazz.
Yep.
Look, this is the Minecraft theme, so we can all calm down and have a
relax.
Little old relax, and we're going to come back and talk about story mode, the Telltale lava. Games version. Sorry. Yeah, Minecraft, a game full of lava.
There is lava everywhere.
Oh my god. Buddy, you got rid of the lava source block.
I'm so sorry.
So, it was maybe a year ago, I guess, when we first heard that Telltale Games were making a Minecraft game.
Yeah.
And at the time, we thought it was baffling. We made a lot of jokes. We said, where can they go next? What else are they going to make games based on? And it was, I guess we just had a lot of trouble conceptualizing how the hell that game would work.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to give them credit, it works.
Yeah, I guess.
It works.
It's out
a game.
Now. Yeah.
I'm going to preface this with two things, okay? So this is the first episode.
Okay.
And it's always hard to review these sort of serial episodic games because a lot of times you can have, you've got to set stuff up, and you can have the real drama and cliffhanger show up later on. Well, I mean, traditionally, episode 3 of a Telltale series, I find, is amazing because at the midpoint, they'll have a really dramatic choice or a character dies, or you've had a good chance to figure out.
Probably not going to happen in a Minecraft game. I don't think anyone's going to cark it.
Well, that's one of my points, right? So there's all that stuff. There's a lot of setup.
Yeah.
But I think I have to say, and this isn't a bad game, but I think it's probably the least I've been dragged into the world.
Yeah.
Should put it that way.
Okay.
Wolf Among Us, I was, first episode, I was completely enamored in that fantasy world, that sort of fantasy meets real world, 80s sort of grungy world. Walking Dead just throws you into it. Game of Thrones is something everyone already knows and loves, but it has its own style.
Yeah.
And Borderlands has such personality that it grabbed me straight away. And Minecraft, it's sort of, you know, it's...
It's a weird one to choose, isn't it? Because, I mean, who's this aimed at? Is it aimed at a younger audience? Is it aimed at just fans of Minecraft?
See, I'm really convinced that it is. I think
a younger audience.
I think that's what they've gone for. Because when you think about it, they work. They're accessible games.
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to just decision making and button pressing, button mashing. You know, key moments and stuff. But I guess there's like a younger audience who can't play Telltale, Borderlands, Telltale, Walking Dead.
It's a dexterity issue.
Because they're awfully violent and graphic.
That's true.
So it is the only one, really, I guess, just in looking at them all, that is 100% accessible for a younger audience.
Which is great.
So, and looking at it through that prism, the kids are going to love it.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me a lot of the Lego Movie in premise. You're kind of a group of like hapless losers who want to find their place in this sort of world, and there's the whole premise of builders as kind of heroes.
Yeah.
So, like, the basic premise is it's sort of this Minecraft world where there's these four fabled heroes, the master warrior that's a master engineer, a master builder, and a master... they're
like
called, like, a master rogue. And they're basically a griefer. And it's quite cool how they work a lot of the Minecraft fiction in. So the warrior is, like, basically... You know, diamond sword, diamond armor, fights the monsters.
Yeah.
Engineer does all the redstone stuff. The rogue is basically like the classic Minecraft player who likes using TNT to blow stuff up,
right.
Lava buckets.
Yep.
You know, the way a lot of us play. And then your builder is your architect.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, this sort of gives the game Minecraft, context, right? Like it
does. And it plays, it doesn't just play off that context, it plays off just like game mechanics and makes them fictional things. Like there's funny, there's really funny moments. Great cast as well. The male character is played by Patton Oswalt. And I really wanted to play the female character, but I went in the male just because I thought Patton Oswalt. Gone back and played half as the female hero. It does let you choose gender, which is really cool. I should point out.
I think she's a comedian as well. I can't remember her name though.
She's a great voice actor, and I think I prefer her character because the Patton Oswalt version. He's very, and he can't help it because it's his voice. Comes off as the classic sort of neurotic, nerdy like hero.
Yeah.
Whereas I just like the energy and the there's more fun to the I think the female voice actor.
Yeah, cool.
but it's sort of like there's a great moment where you're fighting zombies and you kill two and your sword breaks and he goes, ah, wooden swords, God. And there's like great little references that Minecraft players
would be
like.
Saying the exact same thing and the same. Yeah.
Yeah, so it is weird. And there are some, there's still really fun personality moments in it. There's a great, early on, there's a Minecraft material gathering montage that has you punching a tree as you mash A and then doing push-ups and then like shearing a million sheep and digging sand and so it's stuff. I played it with my girlfriend. At one point, she's a huge Minecraft fan and she just found it was a bit weird.
Yeah.
Well, and it is. It's like the concept doesn't quite... The characters are interesting and you sort of keep bopping along with the world and with the narrative, but it just doesn't grab you, you know?
It seems... I mean, even when we heard that it was a thing, we sort of felt that it was an odd fit for Telltale, for Minecraft, even have a story mode. It just seems bizarre.
And you know what? I think the biggest point of it is it's not the concept of Minecraft not working.
No. Because the world... Because
it absolutely could work.
Yeah.
I just think it is a... And this is just based on the first episode, but I think from a narrative point of view, it's kind of weak. I think the strongest point of most Telltale games out there is they are super unpredictable. You don't know where their story is going.
Do you think it's weak because of the subject matter? Because of the material?
No, I think it's separate to that. Like, it could be really cool. In fact, there's a couple moments where things are unpredictable that it is cool. Mm. But for me, it's like little things like you can sort of like, you can predict what decision is coming. There's a choice early on where it's sort of like, you know, rescue a character or concentrate on the task you're doing at hand. I don't want to say what it is, obviously, because spoiler. But like stuff like that feels really obvious and labored. There's character tensions early on and you kind of go, oh, well, that's going to come to a head later. I'm going to have to choose between those characters. This character will remember that moment. Yeah. Just feel really obvious and telegraphed. It's also really obvious that the moment you start the game, you're this hapless loser and you worship these heroes, you just know, well, something's going to happen and my character's going to become a hero or they're going to go on this journey. There's no mystery.
It might be because of
mystery.
Who it's aimed at, though, the audience that it's sort of aimed at. Because, I mean, so many of those Telltale games, it'll come to a pivotal decision and I have to pause, put the controller down and be like, what am I going to do?
Look, I mean, like we love Minecraft. We played a lot of Minecraft. But I think you have to get to a point where like the reason you make a Minecraft game is because the brand.
Right.
Not because you go creatively. And I think that's what they've done. And look, that might be cynical and lame, but... If it's a way of getting kids to play a Telltale game,
sure. Great.
You know, and it's not, again, it's not terrible. It's just that it's not, I've already played such weird, crazy, cool Telltale games and engaging and deep and dark.
Yeah.
And this is just, it's just very light, very surface.
Which isn't
a bad
thing.
It's like, and then this could sound like a dick move, it's like a DreamWorks, like, you know, back when there was Pixar versus DreamWorks.
Yeah.
It's like that difference, I think. You know, it just doesn't quite have the layers and the depth, but it's still, it's not bad. It's well acted, the gameplay is fun, and it moves along at a pace.
And let's see how we go.
I'll keep playing it.
Yeah, let's see how we go in 4 episodes time. You know, we can come, we can revisit and...
But, yeah, I mean, it doesn't have me as... I mean, I'm more excited, I think, for the finale of Borderlands, which comes out next week, than I am for the next episode of this.
Yeah, you did love Borderlands.
It was great. So, look, that's what I say. If you're a diehard Telltale fan, sure, go crazy. If you're a diehard Minecraft fan, you'll probably get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't get the season pass until you played the first episode.
Really? You would recommend it just to Telltale fans? Because I'm a Telltale fan. I don't see myself...
Well, actually, that's a good point. But, I mean, if you're a diehard Telltale fan, you know, if you just want an extra... Because it does have Telltale thing in there. And there are some cheeky references that Telltale fans will like. Mm. There's a bit where you make up a secret handshake that's really awful. And they sit up in the corner, no one will remember that.
Great.
Which I thought was a really fun little cheeky sort of... So look, it's weird. Lukewarm for me, I think.
Interesting.
It's a hard one to recommend. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
Go for it. Fill your boots.
Okay. All right. Let's go to some messages. Say goodbye. Well, that brings us back to the end.
Good to be back here at the end.
Here at the end of all things. Bardia, thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's all right, I guess.
As always, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And the website, bigheadmode.com.au.
Come to PAX.
Specifically, check Facebook for all our PAX news, because we do have 3 shows. We have As we said, bonus stage, we have Truly Awful Games, and we're doing Big Head Mode versus Geek Bomb trivia. They've been throwing some shade at us. They've been sassing us, something fierce on Twitter. Yeah. And you know what? I've been pretty zen.
You have been. I've been pretty
zen. Because, you know, my approach is like, I want to be like, you know that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where the guy comes out with the swords pulls out the gun. That's what I'm thinking.
You're going to be
stay
the guy
calm, that, yeah. stay low key, and then shank him. Away. Look, we're going to play you out with Full Focus. This is from Video Game Orchestra. Stick around. Curly is up next with Accidentally Curly's Treat. He's got some good party is making fun of me. I'm going to go home and play some video games here on 2RRR 88.5 FM.
Bye.